B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Moed Katan Daf Yud. We're going to start from the very top of the Amud. Says the Gemara, Hahed Yoit Toifer Kedarkoi. And this takes us back to the Mishnah on Daf Ches Amud Beis, where the Mishnah said that a Hedyot, an amateur, unskilled person, is allowed to sow on Chol HaMoed Kedarkoi in his regular way. V'ho'uman, says the Mishnah, a skilled person has to be machliv. And we'll soon see what that means. But it means he has to do it in an unusual way, in an unprofessional way. Heichadomi hedyot. What defines whether somebody's sewing skills are unskilled? So the Gemara says, Omri debei Rabbi Yanai, kol she'eino yochi lehoitzi meloi machat bevas achas. The skilled people, they could actually do the whole length of a needle of stitches in one go. So somebody who cannot draw a whole needle full of stitches at a time before pulling the needle out of the material, then he's not called a professional and skilled person who knows how to sew. Rabbi Yosi ber Chanina Omar, kol she'eino yochel lechavein imro b'chapas chalukoi. Anybody who cannot, when he's sewing a hem, at the bottom of a cloak, if he cannot make an even hem at the bottom of the cloak, then he's clearly an unskilled person for sewing, and he can sew on Chol HaMoed in his regular way. Says the Gemara, V'ho'umon, however, a skilled person who knows how to sew machliv, he has to sew with a shinui in an unusual way on Chol HaMoed. My machliv, what's the definition of machliv? How does one sew in an unusual way? Rabbi Yochanan Omar Mafsia. Rabbi Yochanan says that he makes the stitches very wide. Rabbi Bar Shmuel Omar Shinei Kalbasa, that he should sew but very uneven stitches. One a little bit up, a little bit down, uneven stitches, and that means not in a completely straight line. It's called Shinei Kalbasa because the literal translation is the teeth of a dog, and a dog's teeth, they happen also to be wide apart, but also they are not regular, they're not even. If one sews in that way, then one's clearly sewn in an unusual way. Continues the Gemara, Mesargin es hamitos. And this takes us back to the final statement in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the Tanakama, and we'll soon see that it's Reb Meir, holds that Mesargin es hamitos, one's allowed to weave, to interlace the beds. Rabbi Yosi Omar Mematchin, Rabbi Yosi says that one's only allowed to be mematchin, which will translate for now to tighten the ropes. Now, to understand the next Gemara, we have to understand how they would make beds. In the olden days, then, they would have korim, kisois, they would have bedding, they would have what we would call pillows, maybe even a mattress, but what would be the base of the bed? The base of the bed would be a frame on four legs, and the frame, which was just possibly a wooden frame, but in the middle of it, what's holding the mattress up? Then there would be ropes that would go lengthways, called the chassis, and going across, which was called the erev. In English, that would be vertical and horizontal. The chassis is the vertical, it's going lengthways of the bed, and the erev, the horizontal, is going from side to side. And typically they would put the lengthways, they would put the ropes, but in order to strengthen it, they would then interweave within the chassis, they would interweave the erev, the horizontal, the crosswise, those ropes. So the question is, what are you allowed to do on Chol HaMoed? If you need this bed, and you haven't got a bed to sleep on, it's a discussion in the Mefarshim, what are you allowed to do with this bed? Now, there's a number of different stages. You've got the stage of actually twisting the ropes, preparing the ropes themselves. That would be the most effort. Then below that would be positioning on the bed, on the frame, the chassis v'erev, the crisscross. That means those what we'd call the batim, the boxes made of the lengthways and the crossways, that they would put these ropes. Even less effort than that is putting just the chassis, just the lengthways. They would put just those ropes in order to hold up the mattress where the person is sleeping. So that's the question, what are you allowed to do? So we saw in the Mishnah that Reb Meir says, the Tanakama says, you're allowed to even be mesargin. Reb Yosi says in the Mishnah, no, you're only allowed to be mematchin. The mamatchin, that means what the next, the stage even less than shesi would be just to be tight, just to tighten the ropes. They're all there, but they're sagging a little bit. It's not so comfortable to sleep like that. So you could just fill up the sag with some clothes and then the mattress will lie flat. But if you didn't want to do that and you wanted to tighten those ropes, then that would be another discussion. So all we see in the Mishnah is that we have that the Tanakhama say Masargin, and Rabbi Yossi says not Masargin, just Mematchin. We have to see, what does Masargin mean? What does Mematchin mean? Says the Gemara, my Masargin umay Mematchin. What does Masargin mean, which Rabbi Meir allows, the Tanakhama allows, and what's Mematchin, which Rabbi Yossi allows? Ki also Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar, he said that Pligi bo Rav Chiya bar Abba v'Rav Asi. It's a machlekes Rav Chiya bar Abba and Rav Asi. V'tarvayu m'shmei d'chizkiya v'Rav Yechanon. And they both said it in the name of Chizkiya and Rav Yechanon. Chad Omar, one of them said that Masargin, what does it mean Masargin that the Tanakhama allow? That means positioning Shesi v'Erev, the lengthwise ropes and the crosswise ropes. U'mematchin. What does it mean, mematchin, that Rabbi Yossi allows? Is shesi b'loy erev, is just to put the lengthways ropes, those you can position, without afterwards putting in, weaving through them, the crossways ropes. That was one opinion, v'chad omar. The other opinion was, mesargin, that the Tanakhama allow, is not shesi v'erev. Nobody allows shesi v'erev according to this opinion. What Masargin means, shesi b'loy erev. If you're only putting the long ways ropes on the bed, then you're allowed to do that. Rabbi Yossi says even that not. What are you allowed to do? Mematchin. Mematchin, what's mematchin? Shem hoya rofui, that if they were loose, mematcho, you can tighten the existing ropes, but you cannot position any new ropes. Says the Gemara, Eini, V'atonir of Tachlifa Bar Shol, we have an issue here. Did Rav Tachlifa Bar Shol not say that V'shovin, that everybody agrees, also Rav Meir and also Rav Yossi, both opinions of our Mishnah, both agree, She'ein mafshilin chavolim l'katchila, that you're not allowed to twist these ropes. To start with, new ropes, you're not allowed to twist them, and that's even more effort than Shesi v'erev. So Bishlei Milamando Omar, according to the first opinion that says that Rab Meir, who says that you're allowed to do Masargin, is Shesi v'erev, the Omar Masargin is Shesi v'erev, and Mematchin, which Rab Yossi says you're allowed to do is Mematchin, is Shesi b'loy erev, then I can understand. Hainu d'ktoni Rab Tachlifa bar Shaul, I can understand that Rab Tachlifa would say that v'shovin, they both agree, even Rab Meir, who says you're allowed to do Shesi v'erev, he'll agree that she'ein mafshilin chavolin nekatchila, you're not allowed to twist ropes in the first place, because it's even more effort than Shesi v'erev, then positioning the two ropes. Elo lamando omar, according to that second opinion, that holds that Masargin, that the most you can do, which is the Tanakhama say Masargin, and even that is only Shesi b'loy erev. You're only allowed to put the lengthways ropes, you're not even allowed to intertwine the crossways ropes. And so if Shesi v'erev is not allowed, then of course you're not allowed to twist ropes, which is even a bigger effort on Chol HaMoed. So according to this person, the Manda Omar, says Masargin Shesi b'loy erev, and Mematchin means She'im hoya rofui, that if the ropes were loose, hoya mematchi, you're allowed to tighten them. Hashta Shesi v'erev omras loy, if you both agree that Shesi v'erev, just positioning them, is more effort than you're allowed to do in Chol HaMoed, chavolin lekatchila miboya, you can take it for granted that you're not allowed to twist new ropes on Chol HaMoed. So why did Rav Tachlifa Bar Shaul have to say that you're not allowed to twist the ropes? He could have said for the same price, you're not even allowed to position already twisted ropes, Shesi v'erev, because even Rav Meir doesn't allow that according to this second opinion. Says the Gemara Kashya, indeed it's a question which the Gemara is not giving us an answer to. Continues the Gemara, Omale Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok l'Rav Chiya bar Avin. Mi'ika lemando Omar Masargin Shesi b'loy erev? Could there be, which is the second opinion we saw before, that the word Masargin actually means just putting on the Shesi without the erev? But none, this seems to contradict the Mishnah Maseches Kelim. The Mishnah in Kelim determines when a bed is considered as finished, as being made, and from this point it's got the status of a vessel and it can contract Tumah. So Reb Meir Omer, Reb Meir says, Hamito, when is a bed considered finished? Misha Yisroig. Note that he's using the term Yisroig, which is the same word as now Mishnah of Masargin. But he says, what does it mean, Misha Yisroig? Misha Yisroig ba shloisha batim. From the point that you've crossed the Shesi and the Erev three times, so now you have three boxes, so to speak, which is the areas between the Shesi ropes and the Erev ropes, then that's considered that the bed is now finished. It's now considered a kli. So you see clearly that Yisroig means Shesi and Erev. If you only do Shesi, you're not going to have batim, you're not going to have boxes there. You're just going to have the ropes. So you see clearly that the word Yisroig, which is interlaced, means Shesi and Erev. And this is contradicting the second opinion we saw before, that when the Tanakhama and the Mishnah say that Masargin, the second opinion says it's Shesi b'loy Erev. Eloki also Rovin, when Rovin came to Bovel, Omar, he said as follows, that b'masargin, everybody agrees that the definition of masargin which the Tanakhama allow, kule almaloi pligi de shesi v'erev. All opinions hold it's shesi v'erev. Eloki pligi, where's the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi arguing b'mamatchin? They're only arguing, what does mamatchin mean? Marasovar, one opinion says mamatchin means shesi b'loi erev, that Rabbi Yossi allows to put the Shesi as long as you don't also put the Erev afterwards. Or Marasovar, and the other opinion says, Shimhoya Rofui, that you're not even allowed to place the Shesi ropes. That if all the ropes are there and they've just become a little bit sagged, a little bit loose, Mematcho, you're allowed to tighten them. So, and if so, you've got no opinion that says that Masargin is not Shesi and Erev. Ask the Gemara Meiswe, Masargin is Amito. The Braisa says that you're allowed to be Masargin the bed, and it goes without saying, you can be mateach the bed. That is the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Yossi argues and says, no, mematchin avaloi masargin. So far, it's exactly the same as our Mishnah. Tanakhama say masargin, and Reb Yossi says mematchin. V'yesh oimrim, but here you've got another opinion, a yesh oimrim, which is a third opinion we haven't seen yet. Ein mematchin kol ika. You're not even allowed to be mematchin. So now we have to understand, we just saw there's a machlokes, what is mematchin? Is mematchin just placing the shesi rope, or is mematchin just tightening the existing ropes on the bed? So the Gemara is saying, Bishleim elemand omar mematchin shesi b'loy erev, if mematchin means that you're placing the shesi ropes without the erev, haynu da'osu yesh oimrim, I can understand that the yesh oimrim will come and say, le'flugen argue, and say that it's too much effort, you're not even allowed to place the shesi. Elo lemanda Omar, but according to the opinion that says that what is mematchin? Shem hoya rofui mematchi, that if the existing ropes are a little bit loose, you can tighten them. Liyesh oimrim mematchi nami loy? Is it possible that somebody should suggest that you're not allowed to even just tighten these ropes? That's hardly any effort at all. Why should that be asa? And you have nowhere to sleep, at least just tighten the ropes. It's a minimal amount of effort to be able to sleep. Says the Gemara in, I can understand that opinion would say, don't tighten the ropes. Why? Because I've got another option without needing to tighten the ropes. Kiven de efshel emamalye, since the sagging of these ropes, the when the ropes that are a bit too low can be filled up b'moni with garments, lo torchinon, and therefore better just put some garments in the middle of the bed to straighten it out, rather then starting to go into the effort of tightening the existing ropes, and therefore the Yesh Oimrim and the Braisa say you shouldn't even be mamateach to tighten the ropes on Chol HaMoed. Continues the next Mishnah. Ma'amidin, one's allowed to set up Tanur V'kiraim, which is an oven, a stove. So Rashi explains that a tanur typically has space for two pots, and a kira has space for just one pot, but it's types of ovens and stoves, you're allowed to set them up on Chol HaMoed. Verichaim, and also millstones. Millstones, how does a mill work? You have a stone at the bottom, which is fixed. You have a stone on top, which goes round. There's grooves, we're going to soon see what they are, but there are grooves in the lower stone that catch the kernels, the grains that are poured through a hole in the top stone. So the kernels are poured through the eye of the top stone. They reach the lower stone, and then you've got the grooves in the lower stone that catch these kernels, and then the mills, the stones, get grind. They would turn the upper stone, and then the kernels of wheat or barley, whatever it would be, would get ground in between the stones. You're allowed to set up Tanur v'Kiraim and a Reichaim millstones b'moed on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein mechabshin es ha-Reichaim b'tchila. We'll have to see in the Gemara exactly what the word mechabshin means, but whatever this mechabshin is, that to do it initially for the first time on the mill, on the millstones, that you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, My mechabshin, when it says in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein mechabshin es ha-Reichaim b'tchila, that you're not allowed to initially be mechabshin the millstones, what does it mean? Two explanations in the Gemara. Rav Yehuda Omar, Rav Yehuda says, Menakei Rechaya. It means these cutting grooves. They would make these grooves into the lower stone. Rav Yehuda says, you're not allowed to do that initially. Rav Yechiel Omar, Rav Yechiel argues and says, you know what it means mechabshin, or in mechabshin, bas eino. It means making the eye, this eye hole, cutting an eye hole into the upper stone of the millstones in order to pour the grains through them, you're not allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. It's more effort than the Chachomim allowed. Asks the Gemara against Rabbi Yechiel, Meisvei from a Braisa, Ma'amidin Tanur v'Kiraim, one's allowed to set up an oven and a stove, and you obviously have to add in here the V'Rechaim, as Rabbi Kiveiga and other Mepharshim say, because the Braisa is about to discuss the millstones, you're allowed to set up an oven, a stove, and the millstones on Chol HaMoed. Ubilvad shelo yigmer melachton, but it has to be something irregular, something different, a shinui, because it's Chol HaMoed, so make sure you don't complete the work. Divi Rebbe Eliezer, that's the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. The Chachomim oimrim af yigmer, the Chachomim say you can even complete the work. Rabbi Yehuda oimer mishmoy, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rebbe Eliezer, Ma'amidin es hachadosha, you're allowed to set up in the new millstones. Umechabshin es hayushona. And if it's not the new millstones, you're allowed to do the mechabshin. V'yesh oimrim, and others say, Ein mechabshin kol ikka. Others say you're not allowed to do mechabshin at all, even on old stones. So now the Gemara is explaining. Bishleim leman domar mechabshin. If you say mechabshin is menakei rechayo, is these cutting grooves, I can understand. You make the grooves in the new stones, but sometimes after you've been milling and grinding long enough, then these grooves get worn out a little bit, and then you have to just deepen them a little bit and add some more grooves, and that's called a yeshono. You do that. So there's a discussion here whether you're allowed to only add these grooves on an old millstones or even on the new millstones for the first time. Are you allowed to make these grooves? Then if the word mechabshin were to mean the grooves, as Rav Yehuda said, we can understand that they apply to an old mill and a new mill. Elo leman do'omar, but according to Rav Yechiel, do'omar bas eino, that says that the mechabshin means making this eye hole in the top stone through which they would pour the grains. Yeshono bas eino lomolo. How can you have an old millstone that you need to make this hole in? If it never had a hole till now, you couldn't grind with it. It must have had a hole. And once it's got a hole, why do you need to make a hole? Says the Gemara, no. Even according to Bichil, he could explain the braisa. If you want to widen that eye hole a little bit, that's the discussion, according to Rabbi Yechiel, if you're allowed to do that or not. So Bichadosha would mean making a hole in the first place. Bishana means widening it a little bit, which is not so much tircha, and that's the discussion in the Braisa. Continues the Gemara. Rav Huna shomei lahu gavra. Rav Huna heard that there was this person, dekomenake reichaya, b'chayla demayado, that he was doing this mechabshin of Rav Yehuda. He was making the cutting grooves in the stones on Chol HaMoed. And Omar, so Rav Huna responded about this person, Manhai, who's this person who is desecrating the Chol HaMoed by making the grooves? Rav Huna obviously holds, you're not allowed to make these grooves on Chol HaMoed. And he said, Itachil Gufei, that his body of this person should become desecrated, Dekomochil Chol HaMoed, because he is desecrating the Chol HaMoed. Sovarlo. Obviously, Rav Huna holds kiyesh oimrim, like those opinions that say ein mechabshin kol ikka, that you're not allowed to do the mechabshin at all on Chol HaMoed, even on any millstones, you're not allowed to do that. That's how Rav Huna held. Dorash Rav Choma. Rav Choma taught, noikrin rechaim b'moed, You are allowed to be menaker, you're allowed to make these cutting grooves on Chol HaMoed, and he doesn't say only on old millstones, it seems that even on a new millstone you'd be allowed to. Another halacha, Mishum Reb Meir Omar, he said in the name of Reb Meir, Afilu sus sharoichiv olav, v'chamor sharoichiv olav, even the horse that he's riding on, the donkey he's riding on, that is one's umuta litel tzipornayim, one is allowed to trim their hooves b'cholish al moed, because if you're riding on these on the donkey, on the horse, on chol HaMoed, and you don't trim the hooves, it's going to be a pain for the animal, and it won't be able to walk properly. And Tosfos brings here that you're only allowed to ride an animal on chol HaMoed letzorech HaMoed, and it's a discussion. But that's what the Gemara said here in the name of Reb Meir. And the Bach says that it's not Reb Meir, it says that it's actually Rav. Aval, chamro derechayo, a mill donkey, the donkey that was used to turn the mills, loy, you're not allowed to trim the hooves of that donkey. Why? Because you're only allowed to grind on Chol HaMoed, and we're going to see this on Daf Yud Beis, you're only allowed to grind enough to have flour to bake and to cook on Yom Tov. So you only need a little bit. So you only need to grind a little bit. To grind just a little bit, the donkey that is driving round the millstones only has to walk around it a little bit for that little bit of flour, and for that it can do even with its hooves not trimmed. Rav Yehuda shori lemishkal turfei lechamro derechayo. Rav Yehuda argued and said you're allowed to trim the hooves of this donkey that was turning the mills. And he says you're allowed to set up the millstones, and you're allowed to build a mill, amas, and you're allowed to build the frame on which the amas rechayo, the frame on which the millstones were built on, were positioned, ulamivna uria, and one's allowed to build a barn on Chol HaMoed. Rava, others say it's Rav, Shara Lisruke Susya. He says that on Chol HaMoed you're even allowed to comb the horses with metal combs. You're allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed, even though you might be pulling out some of its hair, but it's important for the horses on Chol HaMoed to look presentable. Ulamivne Akarpita. And you're allowed to also build on Chol HaMoed a feeding trough for the animals, for the horses, ulamivne itztaba, and you're allowed to build a stone bench that you need on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to build that on Chol HaMoed. And now the Gemara is going to list out 8 different statements from Rava on the halachas of Chol HaMoed. Rava, first statement, Rava, shora le mishkal domo le behema b'chola domoyado. Rava says one's allowed to draw blood from an animal on Chol HaMoed. Omer le Abaye, Abaye said, Tani de Masaya Loch, I'll bring you a braisa that backs up your position, Rava. That says in the braisa, Mekizin dam le behema, you're allowed to let blood, which was a medical procedure done back in the days, you're allowed to do that with an animal, to an animal on Chol HaMoed. Ve'in moinin refu le behema, we do not withhold any medical treatment from an animal, b'cholish Chol HaMoed on Chol HaMoed. Second statement of Rava, Rava shori lechiskusei kirmi. Rava says you're allowed to press clothes on Chol HaMoed. My tam, what would be the reason for that? Because maisa hedyutu, it's just an amateur act, and it's nothing skilled or professional about it, and therefore you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. Omar of Yitzchok bar Ami, Omar of Chizda, it was said in the name of Rav Chizda that kiturei biri osor, which means pleating a sleeve on Chol HaMoed is not allowed. My tama, my se'umanhu, the reason is because it is the work of a craftsman. You need to be more professional to be able to pleat the sleeves, and therefore you're not allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. Omer Rav, another third statement of Rava. Man de matkil ara, for somebody who's removing stones from the ground, so he's digging up a little bit of the ground to remove the stones, then it depends what his intention is. Adaita de beidori, if he's doing it to prepare a threshing floor to thresh the produce that he needs for Yom Tov, shari, that's allowed. However, adaita de ara, if you're doing it to cultivate the land, to prepare it for, to be able to plow and to sow and to plant in the ground, also you're not allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. Heichidomi, How would you know? What would determine if you're doing it just to prepare a threshing floor or if you're doing it to cultivate the land? So he says like this, and we're going to explain this according to how Rashi explains it and the Bach writes into the Gemara, that mulya b'mulya, if you take some earth on top of a mound and you place it on top of a mound, v'nitze b'nitze, and you have some a hole and you just you're making one hole and putting it from one hole into another hole, that means you're not flattening the land. Whatever was a hole, there's as many holes as there were before as there are afterwards. There's as many mounds afterwards as before. Then it's a daito de aro. Then we can assume that the reason you're doing it is, if it's not to level the ground, you're doing it just to cultivate it and to start, similar to plowing, where you don't care how level the ground is. And that's not allowed. However, shokel mulya v'shoda benitze, if you're taking earth from a mound and putting it into a cavity, into a hole, then you've leveled out the ground. What would you be leveling out the ground? Shokel mulya v'shoda benitze, then adaito de beidori. Then we can assume that your intention is just in order to have a smooth and flat threshing ground, and that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. The fourth statement of Rava, v'omar Rava, if somebody is clearing away the twigs, the debris, the woods from the ground, then are you allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed? It depends. If you're doing it in order to collect wood because you need for fuel, firewood, shari, then you're allowed to do that. Chol HaMoed, you need it for Chol HaMoed. Adaita the Arab, if you're doing it again just to prepare the land for plowing, then also that's not allowed. Hey Chadomi, what would determine what your intentions are? Shokil Rav Rava v'shovig zutra, if you only take the big twigs and the big branches and you leave the small ones, adaita de tzivi, then it's clear that you want it for firewood, and that you're allowed to do. Shokil Rav Rava v'zutri, but if you're clearing away all the twigs and branches that are in the way, the big ones and the small ones, then adaita de aro, you're clearly preparing the land to cultivate it for the planting, and that you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. The fifth statement of Rava, V'omar Rava, Hay man de potach maya la'ari, if somebody opens an opening in order for the water to pour into his field, into his land, are you allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed? Again, it depends. Adaita de kavri, if you want the water to fill up the cavity and the fish should come in with the water, and then you're doing it in order to catch fish. Catching fish to be able to eat fish for Chol HaMoed and for Yom Tov, there's nothing wrong with that. Shari, it's mutter. Adaita de aro, but if you're doing it in order to water and to irrigate the land, osur, it's osur. Again, it's talking about a field, assuming that it's a field you're not allowed to irrigate on Chol HaMoed. Hey Chadomi, what would determine what your intentions are with this water? So he says, Posach Trei Bavi, if this cavity that's catching the water, if you opened up two entrances, one to let the water in and one to let the water out of this cavity with just the fish being caught inside this ditch, then you're clearly doing it to catch the fish. Posach Trei Bavi, if you open two openings, Chad Me'iloi v'chad Me'tatoi, one higher up and one lower down, then adate de kavri, you're clearly doing it with intentions of catching the fish. Posa chad bova, but if you open just one opening and then the cavity, this ditch, fills up and then overflows into the and waters the entire field, it's clearly adate de ara, it's an intentions of watering and irrigating the entire field, and that's not allowed on Chol HaMoed. The sixth statement of Rava, V'omar Rava, Hay man de poshach dikla, if somebody removes some branches from a palm tree, again, it depends what his intention is. Adaita de chivah, so if he's doing it in order to feed his animals with these branches, shari, it's allowed. Adaita de dikla, if he's doing it just in order to improve the quality of this tree, also you're not allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. Hey chadomi, again, what would determine what his intentions are? Is as follows, shokel kule mechad gisa. If everything you take off is just on one side of the tree, you take dry branches and you take the more softer, the fresher branches, all from one side of the tree. The kule, shokel kule, takes all of the branches, mechad gisa, from one side of the tree, adaita de chivusa. He's obviously doing it in order to feed his animals with these branches. However, if he's picking out the dry branches mehai gisa and taking the dry branches mehai gisa from the other side, then clearly I die to the dikla. He's pulling off the dried branches in order to improve the tree. V'osar, that's osar in chol hamoed. The seventh statement of Rava, v'omar Rava, hani tamre tuchlani. You have these unripe dates. Migzarinu, you're allowed to cut them into two on chol hamoed. Shari, if you're doing it just to cut them into two on chol hamoed in order to eat them, then you're allowed to do that. However, maitzinu, if you want to press these dates, and they would typically press the dates before letting them dry out, because if there's too much liquid in them, they could get wormy. If it's too moist, and in order to, but pressing these dates, also that you're not allowed to do. And about cutting dates, the Chaznish already discusses what should be the issue with cutting dates. Why does the Gemara have to tell us that it's mutter? But either way, that's how Rashi explains this Gemara, that regarding these tamri tuchlani, these unripe dates, it depends what you're doing with them. Pressing them on chol hamoed is asur, cutting them to eat is mutter. Rav Papa Omar. Rav Papa argued and said no. Kivin de mitli, since if they could be more, if they remain moist, they could get wormy, then it's similar ka prakmatya ha'ove domi. It's like merchandise, it's like business, which is something that in the event that you would incur a loss by not doing it on chol hamoed, you're allowed to do it on chol hamoed, so too these dates. If you don't press them to remove the moist from them, the liquid from them, they could get wormy and then you lose them. V'shari, therefore, it's mutter to do it on chol hamoed. V'omar Rava, the eighth and last statement from Rava, prakmatia, which is buying and selling of merchandise on chol hamoed, kol shehu osur. Any amount of buying and selling on chol hamoed is osur. Omer Rabbi Yosi bar Ovin, ubedavar ha'ovid, however, if you don't sell it now on chol hamoed, it's going to incur loss. Not that you're not going to have the gains. The gains you'll have afterwards when you sell them after Yom Tov, after chol hamoed. But if you're going to lose by not selling them on chol hamoed, mutter, then it's allowed. Continues the Gemara, Ravina havale ahu iska. Ravina had this business opportunity. The Hava Mizdavin, that he could have sold his merchandise, his wares, on Chol HaMoed B'Shitto Alpha for 6,000 Zuz. Shihiyah, he waited till after Yom Tov, Lizvune, Bosa Chol HaMoed. He said, I don't want to sell on Chol HaMoed. He waited till after Chol HaMoed, V'Zavne, and he managed to sell them B'Treise Alpha for 12,000 Zuz, for twice the price of what they would have been worth had he sold it on chol hamoed. You never lose by following the Torah. Continues the Gemara. Rava have a mosik zuzi. There was a time that Rava had a claim of some coins of zuzi from the people of Bibnei Akra de Shanuosa, the people who lived in the vicinity of this river Shanuosa. He wanted to know, can I go and to those people who owe me money and claim the money on chol hamoed? Also le kamedu Ravashi. So Ravina, before setting out, he asked Ravashi. Omarle, Ravashi said to Ravina, Mau, and Omarle, and Ravina asked Ravashi, Mau lemezalo idna alayu. What's the halacha regarding going today to this people of Akra de Shanuosa to ask for my money back? Omarle, Ravashi said to Ravina, Kivan de ha'idna hu de mishkachaslu. Today, you know exactly where these people are, you would be able to find them. B'yoimachrina, if you wait for another day, there's a good chance you're not going to find those people. And therefore, it's kaprakmatia ha'ove. Domi is similar to business transactions where you would incur a loss if you didn't do it on chol hamoed, v'shori, and it's mutter. Similarly, Tani, we learnt in a braisa, gab nami gabe avodah zara. Regarding avodah zara, ki hai gavna, we found something similar. That what? That hoilchin le yirid shel akum. You're allowed to go to a fair, a pagan fair, a fair of that is run by people who serve Avodah Zarah. V'loikhim behemah, you're allowed to buy from them animals, avodim, and slaves, shvachis, maidservants, botim, houses, sodis, fields, kromim, vineyards. And v'koisav, you're allowed to write down the transactions, or maile be'erkois sholohem, and record it in their courts. Even though going to their courts is giving prestige and prominence to their courts, and that's something that you're clearly not allowed to do unless you would be incurring a loss. But mipneishu kamatzil miyadon, if you don't go immediately and record the transactions in the courts, then afterwards the goyim could play tricks on you and you could lose your what you've bought. And therefore, This is in the same way as Hilchas Chol HaMoed. If there's a one-off opportunity to secure that you don't incur a loss, you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. So too, when it comes to buying from these goyim, you're allowed to go to their courts, and because it's kamatzel miyadom, because otherwise you may risk losing what you've bought. That's how Rashi explains this Gemara. The Ritva explains it a little bit differently. He says that the chiddush here is that you're actually allowed to go and buy from them in these fairs, in these sales. Normally one wouldn't be allowed to buy from the Avodah Zarah, from the people who serve Avodah Zarah. But since you could lose money because they're very cheap prices, then you're allowed to go and buy then. That's how the Ritva explains this. Continues the Gemara, Rav Shoro Lechia Bar Ashi, Rav allowed Chia Bar Ashi le Migdal to craft oihare fish traps v'chol demeado on chol hamoed. My tama, why was that allowed? My sehed you too, because making a fish trap is an amateur act, and you're allowed to do that on chol hamoed. Avol izli osur. However, to make bird nets, that's osur. My tama, why is it osur? My se umenhu, because it's the act of a craftsman, and craftsman skilled work is not allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed. Continues the Gemara, Rav Yehuda shori la'ami tanura. Rav Yehuda allowed Ami, the oven maker, le'migdal to craft tanure, to craft a new oven on Chol HaMoed. Ule Rabbe Bar Isvi, and Rav Yehuda allowed Rabbe Bar Isvi le'migdal to craft mehulta, sieves that he needed for Chol HaMoed. He was allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. Asks the Gemara, Eini v'atani Rabbi Bar Shmuel v'shoven she'im goydlin tanu l'katchila. How could you say that Rabbi Yehuda allowed Ami Tanura to craft a new oven on Chol HaMoed? Did we not learn in a brisa, or did we not learn that Rabbi Bar Shmuel said that you're not allowed to craft a new oven on Chol HaMoed? Says the Gemara, Lo Kasha. It's not a question. Can be a mois hachama, that in the summer. In the summer times, that as soon as you make the oven, it will dry very quickly, and you'll actually be able to use the oven still on Chol HaMoed for the sake of Chol HaMoed and Yom Tov, and therefore you're allowed to make such an oven. Can be Moisa Geshomim. But when it says that V'shovin She'ein Goydlin Tanur L'Katchila, you're not allowed to craft a new oven, it's talking about the Chol HaMoed in the winter times. That's the Sukkos one. In the summertime is Pesach Chol HaMoed, and Chol HaMoed Sukkos is typically more rainy, and because it's more rainy, it's colder, it's not going to dry as quickly, and the oven's not going to be ready, and then you'll have exerted effort on Chol HaMoed Shelo L'Tzeirich HaRegel, not for the sake of Yom Tov. You can't use this oven, it's not going to dry quick enough to be able to be used on for the sake of Chol HaMoed and Yom Tov, and therefore you're not allowed to craft such an oven on Chol HaMoed. And Yemirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to learn the next Mishnah.